Chapter 1. June 11th, 2016. As soon as I pulled off the two-lane highway onto the gravel drive leading up to the Hatfield property, I sensed something was amiss. The gate was standing ajar, which typically wasn't the way Vince Hatfield left it once he'd unlocked it for the day. I stopped my truck, got out and pushed the gate the rest of the way open, securing it against the fence with the metal hooks hanging from the post just for that purpose. Back in my truck, I passed through the entrance and took the first gravel lane to the right, which circled around the property, passing the three mobile homes, which were spaced out 20 yards apart, each one separated by a row of shrubs. Vince Hatfield's cousin Ray, his girlfriend Denise, and her two kids inhabited the first trailer. The middle one was where Vince's daughter, Tammy Hatfield, stayed with her current boyfriend, James something or other, along with her daughter, Maddie, and their newborn baby boy, Barton. Last one on the left was Harlan Hatfield's place, Vince's oldest son. Harlan's trailer sat back from the others several hundred feet. A carport with a shed had been built to allow him more privacy from the others. Harlan liked his privacy when he wasn't partying. Harlan's truck was parked under the carport, and as I pulled up my truck behind it, I saw that the window at the end of his trailer was wide open, and the AC unit had been pulled out and was now on the ground next to the metal skirting that surrounded the bottom of his mobile home. The screen on the top half of the open window had been cut as well. That was Harlan's bedroom window, I was pretty sure. Strange. As warm as it was, I couldn't imagine why he'd taken his window air conditioner out. And what was with the cut screen? It was a little past 7. I was running a bit late. Harlan should have been up sipping coffee on his front steps, smoking a cigarette while waiting for me to show, just like he was every Saturday morning, like clockwork. The air was thick with silence at the compound. No Harlan, no music blasting from Tammy's trailer, no babies whining. The Hatfields were creatures of habit, early risers, up and about even on weekends when most folks enjoyed the luxury of sleeping in a bit. I jumped out of the truck and walked a few feet over to the wooden steps leading up to the deck that ran half the length of his trailer to the front door. Both the screen door and inside door were shut tight. I leaned in, listening for any sounds from inside to indicate Harlan was up and about. There was nothing. No sounds of a television, radio, or Harlan bumping around inside. Dead silence. I pulled the screen door open and was about to knock when I saw it. A reddish-brown streak of something ran a wide swath down the center of the white steel-framed front door. It looked like blood. I hesitated momentarily and then pounded my fist on the door, my other hand trying to turn the knob at the same time. Nothing. The door was locked, and nothing indicated any activity inside. My instincts instantly went on high alert. I let the screen door slam shut and returned to my truck, backing out and heading up the curved drive that led to the main house. I wasn't about to step into Harlan's place without Vince or his wife being with me. This family was clannish, trusted few people, and stayed to themselves for the most part. I wasn't about to force Harlan's door open until I had somebody with me, if for no other reason than to witness whatever was behind that damn door. As I rounded the bend, I saw Vince's truck parked in the usual spot. I was relieved, although a bit surprised he hadn't left for work yet. He was generally gone before 7, meticulous about leaving the main gate open for me, knowing I'd arrive around 7. His wife's SUV was right next to his truck, and his teenage son Daryl's new Mustang parked next to hers. Vince's two pit bulls were out on the porch, wandering around the front door unleashed. That never happened. The dogs stayed mostly inside, obviously bred and trained for protection. To see them pacing on Vince Hatfield's front porch, scratching at the screen door, was in no way typical behavior for the dogs. I jumped out of my truck and headed up the steps of the front porch, noticing immediately that the door to the main house was ajar. I cuffed my hands and peered through the screen door, the dogs whining beside me as I did. There were no sounds from within the house, and the interior door wasn't open far enough to allow me to see anything. I opened the screen door and pushed the interior door wide, slowly stepping inside the house.